Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we have 962 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 16 seconds left of this goddamned Obama nightmare. And it keeps getting worse. It just doesn't frickin' stop. All damn weekend. What the hell is going on? My Lord and sweet blue frickin' heaven, man. Jesus Christ, what side is this man on? Does he understand anything that he does? Does he understand any effect of anything that he does? Does he understand the cause and effect of anything? Does he understand anything? Or is he just really that freaking, I guess, I don't want to say evil, but if you want to go down that goddamn road, fine. Hop on the bus, I'll take you there. I mean, one could make a legitimate argument. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. He couldn't wait to put weapons into the hands of the Mexican drug cartel. That's one of the first goddamn things this bastard did. Yeah, I solemnly swear, yeah, Constitution. Where's my magic pen? I've got a lot of damage to cause. That's what he did. Then he takes his little buddy there, old Eric Holder, both of them. Jesus, God. Well, once this nightmare is over, that's when we got to go to work. That's when we got to start sweeping the streets, cleaning all the trash off the sidewalks. I mean, we got to scrub the house down. Got to clean it. Pressure wash it. You see what I'm saying? In the Navy, we called that a field day. Well, that's what we need to hold in this country, a field day. Clean this goddamn mess up, for Christ's sakes. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap. But we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. And I must apologize up front. Anytime I start talking about these freaking liberals, man, I blast off into deep space goddamn nine. So sometimes it's very difficult for me to be blasting off into the cosmos and be looking down here at this chat room. But I do look at the end. I do that. So I apologize up front. Anyway, you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, I don't even know where the hell to begin today. Honestly, God, I was thinking about this. You know, I was a couple of days ago, and a couple hours ago, I said, you know, all weekend long, I've been trying to avoid everything. And every weekend, I try to avoid it, but I can't. I try to take a week off. Try to take those 2 days off and just not think about, no, nothing. Can't do it. And then what's going on here, I mean, I was learning so much. It's like sometimes like when you learn too much too quick, then you can't remember anything. Well, that's what it, well, it's, well, I'm a little exaggerating, but, I mean, there is so much that is coming out now, just in 2 days. I mean, just on the weekend. Normally, weekends are, that's when they love to put this kind of crap out. But no, 24/7 media today, the internet, I mean, it doesn't stop. It does not stop. Every time you go on that Facebook, you got a million goddamn posts of what the hell's going on. But I don't even know where the hell to begin tonight. I cannot understand at this point. I mean, I thought that we were done, but we're not. I mean, how much more can we take before it is time for impeachment? I mean, I have had it for a long time. I mean, Fast and Furious, look. One could argue impeachment, but if they corrected the mess, they were honest about it, and didn't try to cover it up, yada, 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 I could have forgiven them, and we would have moved on. We'd have never done a stupid thing like that again. But then when you add everything else to it, stimulus packages, IRS, then you get to Benghazi. I mean, my God, Obamacare? I mean, what he did with Benghazi alone, I mean, again, that's grounds for impeachment right there. I've been asking a long time, what is it going to take for America to see the government, the Congress, which the Congress, Congress, you do have power, Mr. Boehner. I'm sorry, but you were born with a penis. Could you pull it out and use it, please? Huh? My God. Somebody in the Republican Party, please stand up. You have the right, Mr. Boehner. You not only have a right, but you have an obligation, a responsibility. I mean, this committee that you got here with Trey Gowdy, now don't get me wrong, I love Trey Gowdy. He's, you know, I am his ally. Hey, look, he needs a civilian on the team. I'm his man. I'll do whatever he needs to do. I can help out. But why wasn't this done 2 freaking years ago? Look, we knew at the very beginning that they were lying. They were going crazy with all this stuff. What the hell? Who are you protecting, Mr. Boehner? Are you protecting yourself? Which I think you are. There were members of Congress that knew what the hell was going on. They got the talking points. Did they say anything? Did they object? No, I didn't. That's what the hell's going on here. Everybody wants to protect their ass. That's why they don't want to. That's why they don't want to go after the crime. Well, we're not going after. I mean, we're not going after, like. Well, I guess you could say we're going after people, but we're going after the crime. And if it just so hits the people, then fine. You got to. You look. You got to do what you got to do, man. I'm sorry, but what this government is doing is no. This is not. This is not what our structure says to do. This is not what our Constitution says to do. This is not how we govern. This is the United States of America. And if our government isn't going to follow our rules, our Constitution, I mean, this is where we come in. We're the people. This is our government. People aren't going to do their goddamn job. They need to go. Why you people in Ohio, why you couldn't find somebody to challenge Mr. Boehner? I'm sorry, but it's time to, you know, it's time to put away that old suit. You know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes you just got to hang it up, put it back in a closet, give it to the Goodwill. Give it to the neighbor kid. They're poor. He's trying to find a job. Sometimes you just got to get rid of the trash, man. Well, enough is enough. What the hell more is it going to take before this Congress really, seriously, brings up impeachment charges? Not only it brings them up, it does it. Well, the House, maybe. The Senate, now, no. Not with Harry Reid. I know it sucks. Well, we got to wait till this election. Then you got to wait till that. And you got to wait till this. I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting. Screw it. Screw the midterms. I don't want to hear about midterms. I don't want to hear about no goddamn elections. This ain't about elections. I don't want to hear nothing about no frickin' elections. I'm sick and tired. They're still doing this crap. Well, how do the Democrats fare? How do the Democrats look? How do the Republicans look? We're going into the midterms now. How is this going to look? What's the narrative? Well, speaking of narratives, Republicans need to figure out what the hell they're doing. The problem with the Republicans are you've got conservatives and you've got, I don't know, what the hell you call them. You might as well call them Democrats. They act like one. I mean, Jesus Christ. What the hell are we doing? Why is there not enough? Look, I don't care if the president's in your same party. But see, you're never going to get somebody like Harry Reid to do anything about it. Or Nancy Pelosi. Any of these guys. Even John Boehner and McConnell. They're all wrapped up into all this crap. They're tied up and twisted up. I mean, it's like freaking Twister there. They're all converged into each other, tied into each other. No one wants to rat on each other because they're going to rat on them. Well, I say get the goddamn rats out. I've had enough of them. I'm sorry, Ohio, but you dropped the ball. Now we either get Boehner for another 2 goddamn years, or we get a Democrat. Which, what's the difference? I don't know. At least if the Democrat did win, I hate to say that. I mean, I'm already cringing. But at least if a Democrat did win, at least he wouldn't be Speaker of the House, which Trey Gowdy would probably more than likely take that seat. I could probably, look, we got to give up one, one seat to de-seat the riffraff, the leadership in there that you know damn good and well isn't going to do anything because they're all connected, fine. I don't have a problem with the Democrat winning in Ohio. Matter of fact, I might even campaign for the son of a bitch. I don't even know who it is. I have no idea who's running. Man, woman, child, or beast. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But if they're running against John Boehner, then fine. I might even move to goddamn Ohio just so I can vote against you, Mr. Boehner. Personally, I'm pretty sure you are pretty nice guy. You know, I have lunch with you, talking. You know, you're out, you know, at a barbecue. You drink your beer, you know, you're hanging out. Fine. But we can't afford you people anymore. You, the Mr. Kings, the McCains, the McConnells, we can't afford any of you. You're all out. You're all done. You're done. We can't afford you. The country needs to move on. We need to move forward. Well, we're certainly not going to move very forward with you, Mr. Boehner. Not for nothing. But you're a little late with all these hearings. And hey, fine, you're getting a hearing. But how much restrictions did you put on Mr. Gowdy? What kind of real subpoena power does he have? If he's got any kind of subpoena power at all, he needs to subpoena the president. We need to find out just exactly what the hell he was doing. First of all, you get the news that your embassy is on fire. You have no idea where your ambassador is. You're being attacked by a whole shitload of goddamn crazed up goddamn jihadis. The first thing you do is not go upstairs and eat. I don't care how good the goddamn meal is. Your embassy's on fire. If you can't find your ambassador, you're being attacked. Well, you run as fast as you can. You get down to that situation room, and you start taking control of the situation. That's what a president does. I mean, a dummy like me even knows this. Jesus, God Almighty. That would be a natural instinct to anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. A goddamn kindergartner. That's the first thing he'd do. Oh, okay, well, let's attack him back. It's a natural instinct. This guy? No. I want to go eat. Okay, fine. The president's got to eat. Let's go down to the situation room. Maybe they got donuts set up there. And we'll just twiddle our thumbs until the goddamn president gets here. So time keeps ticking and ticking and ticking, and they're wondering, what the hell? 45 minutes. Where's that president at? Time keeps ticking and ticking. God damn it, it's been an hour and 15. Where the hell's that? That's one hell of a meal. Our embassy's on fire. We don't even know if they found the ambassador yet. Is he alive? Is he dead? We don't know. But we did get word that they're now attacking the annex building. So where's the president? Well, he's upstairs on the phone there with old Benjamin Netanyahu, which I got nothing against Benjamin Netanyahu, but this ain't about Benjamin Netanyahu. This is about Barack Hussein Obama, who's trying to kiss and make up with Netanyahu for dissing him. I'm sorry, a goddamn postcard, a freaking email. Jesus Christ, man. Your embassy's on fire. Your ambassador's nowhere to be found. They're attacking. That's American soil, for Christ's sakes. How long does it take to kiss and make up on a goddamn phone? Well, for him, 2 hours. Two freaking hours. He shouldn't have been on the phone call in the first place. Now, if Mr. Netanyahu called him, well, one of his aides would naturally say, Mr. Netanyahu, yeah, he's a little tied up. You see, yeah, well, our embassy's on fire. They're raping the ambassador, and they're shooting up a whole bunch of people with mortars and machine guns. We don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know how anybody could do that. I, honest to God, I really don't. And then to cover it up and blame it on a video. So if you've got any kind of subpoena power whatsoever, Mr. Gowdy, which again, I'm your ally. I just don't want you breaking my heart. You know what I mean? Because this is going to really sting. These other guys have all broken my heart. Okay, fine. I kind of got used to it. But you break my heart on this one, Mr. Gowdy. This is too important what you got here. I think you can handle it. I got faith in you. Country's got faith in you. The country needs you. Mr. Boehner, we need somebody, again, as best as I can tell, your stature, your haircut, your voice, pretty sure you were born with a penis. I just want you to use it. That's all I'm asking you to do is to whip it out and start using the goddamn thing. Now, I'm sorry, but we have had too much with this administration that we can possibly take. It is time now for a serious conversation on impeachment. Now, look, with this trade, now granted, his parents, I know. The first thing that I thought, okay, and I remember this story, but it came in and then it came back out real quick. Of course, that's another thing that I was thinking about over the weekend. I said, you know, there are so many goddamn scandals going one after another, and I'm thinking, I wonder if this isn't some kind of plan that if you're in one scandal, you just create another one, and then when that one gets too hot and too close, well, then you just, boom, create another one and just keep moving, distracting. Well, yeah, it is distracting. It's distracting from, well, the company or the country growing. Not for nothing. But granted, my first instinct, and I remember the story, like I said, I remember the story that there was, you know, mysterious circumstances of why he left the base. They didn't really know this, didn't really know that. They made all the soldiers sign these non-disclosure forms. I mean, early on. Anything that happens, non-disclosure. I don't like that non-disclosure form. Pretty sure the Constitution doesn't say anything about a non-disclosure form. And what happens if you don't sign it? Well, they got you by the short and curlies, don't they? Yeah, and they will pluck them out one by one. It's going to hurt. I understand the need for secrecy, but this is a person going AWOL. And six of our soldiers were killed trying to find this guy who was a deserter. First of all, I think if you know that he's a deserter, which I've got a whole bunch of stuff in here. I mean, I got so much stuff on this. I mean, my God, we've all heard it all a million times, but we still got to cover it. But they knew very early on that this guy was a deserter. So knowing that, I mean, really, why would you? I understand you want to send teams out to look for him. But it seems to me that they sent a lot of teams out looking for this guy, which I understand. Look, I understand they got a word in that he was captured. He was captured pretty early on. Now, it just seems to me that this guy wanted to get captured, wanted to go with him for whatever reason. I don't know. But I do, you know, at first I felt sorry, you know, I felt, you know, for the parents, I thought, wow, man, this has got to be, you know, they've got to be in seventh heaven right now. This is before I seen the father with his, you know, his funky little Taliban beard. So here I'm thinking, oh, my God, these guys got to be just ecstatic. And I had forgotten all about this. You know, this particular, the story behind this Bergdahl. And then it all started coming back to me. And then I started reading all these tweets and all this stuff from these other soldiers. And all these soldiers are coming out. And they're, you know, they're, no, this guy was, you know, he was whacked out from the very, from the get-go. Well, there was reports, and they were trying to do something, but, I mean, look, how many people are wacko? Everybody. Everybody's a wacko to somebody. So they did see some stuff, and they were kind of, you know, their guard was up. And, you know, really, what can you do at this particular moment? I mean, just somebody just mouthing off and saying stupid stuff, okay. But when you started adding it all up, well, they were adding it up. Did they have enough to intervene at that time? Well, maybe, maybe not. But how do you know? You know, sometimes you jump in too early, you're going to get the wrong people. So, I mean, I understand what they were doing. But when they got the word, they knew right away. And the one soldier, we'll get to it. If I can ever shut up. And he went up to, I guess, one of his lieutenants or his sergeants or somebody and said, yeah, he's effing gone. So they knew right away. Well, at first, like I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, these parents must be just, you know, at seventh heaven. And then you get up there, the president comes out here in the Rose Garden with this guy. And, of course, the president speaks, well, we're going to get to that. I mean, I'm tired of being insulted and offended by this man. I'm tired of being embarrassed by this man. I'm sorry, but it's time for serious discussions on impeachment. Comes out here and says that, well, we never leave any man behind. Because that's what you have been hearing in the media, that you leave people behind. So let's go out here and let's put a speech in here and let's release this guy. Remember that deal that we had a couple of years ago, and Congress, well, overwhelmingly said no. We're not going to do this deal. This is a bad deal. This guy is a deserter. We're not gonna trade. Yeah, we want to get the deserter back. Find out, did he really desert? Is he mentally screwed up? What happened to the guy? Why did he leave the base? Is there another reason why? Which I understand, and there still could be a reason why. Maybe the guy is Looney Tunes. God only knows. I don't know. Maybe he needs a doctor. I don't know. But for the president to come out here and say, we don't leave any man behind, after what he did in Benghazi, he goes upstairs, he eats, and then he gets on the phone for 2 hours to Benjamin Netanyahu, and then after at least 2.5 hours, at least two and a half hours from getting the news that the embassy is on fire, the ambassador is nowhere to be found, and we're being attacked. From that moment, 2.5 hours. So what does he do after the phone call? Well, we don't know. You see, he's the most transparent administration in American political history. So we don't know that information. We're not allowed to know that. We're the peasants, okay? We are the subjects. We are to do what we're told when we're told, and we're to like it. And if the government does something, it's for our own benefit, our own good. We should just shut up and accept it. Just allow the government to do whatever they want to do. The only reason why this man was saying we don't leave any man behind is because of all the bad press that he's been getting about leaving men behind. Leaving men behind at the VA, leaving men behind in Mexico, leaving men behind in Benghazi. He leaves the American people behind by closing down entire industries, for Christ's sakes. Well, you coal miners, well, you know, might want to, you know, draft up a resume. You're going to need a new job. Where are you going to work? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't vote for Obama. So I don't know where you're going to go. I have no idea. But anyway, getting back to his parents, at first, you know, like I said, I thought this, you know, the parents were, you know, and then to see this guy, and he's got this beard. Now, I understand solidarity. But I don't know if I would really grow a beard like my son's captors. I really don't know if that's something that I would do, and why would you do that? Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Now, I do know that he hasn't heard English in 5 years, and they say he's having difficulty speaking English. Well, whatever. Okay, fine. But I'm pretty sure after 5 years he'd be able to pick it up. So his father learns the language. Now, okay, fine. If you wanted to learn the language and say something to your son. See, when I watched it live. And when he said whatever he said, whatever. I thought it was something like, hello, son, I love you, I'm dad, you know, this is me. I love you, welcome home. That's what I figured he said. Then to find out later, no, that's not what he said. He was praising Allah. Blessed Allah, the most merciful, most, you know, compassionate, most wondrous and gracious and blah, 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 whatever. Whatever the hell the stupid quote is. Who gives a damn? Why the hell would he want to give that quote to his son? His son's captured by these freaks, man. So a lot of stuff immediately started going, what the hell's going on here? And the more information you start finding out, I mean, this whole thing stinks to high freaking heaven. I don't even want to find out anymore. I'm afraid to find out. But I guarantee you this stuff is going to start coming out, and it is going to be greasy, ugly, nasty. I mean, look, the weapons deals that we did in Benghazi, that's what got our ambassador and three other men killed. Plus whatever that the government hasn't told us got killed. Plus all of the ones they did tell us and didn't tell us that were seriously injured. God damn, but why would you do that? So again, more information starts coming out. This old man is just as freaked out as the kid. And there's government. They're making a deal for this guy. Now look, I understand we're pulling out. We want to get this guy home. We could have done something a little gooder than five of the worst men on planet Earth. First of all, these men should have already been tried, convicted, and hung. They should not be living right now. That's the problem. Well, they should have had some kind of disease they found. You know, I don't know, they got bit by a rat, gave them rabies, they died. Sorry. Well, we didn't kill them. You know, they die of this, die of that. They get, you know, inject them with something. Inject them with a whole bunch of cancer. They get grows real quick, boom, done, dead. Can't convict them. You can't try them. You can't do a military tribunal. Why weren't those military tribunals done early on? You've got all the evidence right there. What the hell are you waiting for? Well, it's political. See, if we do it, then we're going to look, you know, we're going to look this and we're going to look that on the world stage, and nobody wants to touch them. So they throw them in a prison just to sit there and rot, which I, you know, personally, I don't have a problem with it. Let them rot. At least they're not killing anybody. But if you're going to throw them in a prison and take away their rights, they don't get to wear those hats. And they don't get to do whatever it is that they do. And they're going to eat whatever the hell we give them. We're not going to have it blessed by the whatever. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, the Muslim equivalency of kosher, which kosher, I guess, is you got a rabbi that prays on it. Fine. But I would serve him pork every frickin' day. Oh, you don't want to eat it? Fine. Starve. I don't care. But you're getting pork every meal, which is one meal a day. That's all you get. You don't deserve any more. You don't even deserve this meal. But we got to give it to you because we can't kill you. But there's no excuse why these men are still on planet Earth. For whatever reason, I don't know the actual connection this president has with Al-Qaeda, but it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, at first, you remember in 2007 and 2008 when this whole damn campaign started and all this Muslim stuff started coming out. Oh, he's Muslim, Muslim, Muslim. But I never really paid a whole lot of no, never mind. And in the last couple of years, the last few years or so, I'm thinking, now, wait a minute here. You know, maybe there is something to this. And then the more and more and more and more and more, and here we are, here we are, here we are. I mean, it started when he's bowing to the king of Saudi. You don't bow? What the hell? I mean, the only people who bow are the Japanese and Chinese. I think other, I don't know, Koreans, they might bow, but it's Asian. They bow to each other. We don't bow. We're Americans. We shake hands. Man up and shake the man's hand. He's a goddamn dictator. What are you doing meeting him anyway? And if you are going to meet him, okay, fine. I'll, you know, whatever. You stand tall. You stand there like a man. Be proud to be a goddamn American, for Christ's sake. And you walk up to the man and you shake his hand. You don't bow. Then he's trading deals with making sure he really wasn't doing it, but the United States government was facilitating weapons going into the hands of Al-Qaeda. Now, why would he do that? Well, we don't know. Again, the most transparent administration in American political history. Of course we don't know this information. We're not supposed to have that. No, they're the most transparent administration in American political history. Don't you know? Oh, and he certainly doesn't give himself enough credit for his foreign policy. Really? Remember that? We played that yesterday. Wow, what was her name? Yeah, that Psaki, that Jen Psaki. The president doesn't give himself enough credit. His foreign policy is amazing. It's magnificent. It's brilliant. Really. I can't understand why these people are coming out. And that I watched a little bit of those Sunday puke shows, but I had to leave. I had to leave. I couldn't take it anymore. I started watching that stupid Fox with that Chris Matthews. And I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I had to leave the room. I came back, watched a little bit, blew up. Had to leave the room again, came back, watched more, blew up. Had enough, left the frickin' house altogether. I can't understand how these people are. These people will defend anything. And they will turn it around. They'll turn it around on you and blame you for making it political when they're the ones making it political. Nobody said anything about any kind of politics. They weren't bringing up any kind of political party. They're bringing up the crime. I mean, do these people not understand the crimes that have been committed? Do they not understand the seriousness of the crimes that have been committed? That's the question that I have, and I don't think they do. I don't think this president understands the seriousness of what he does. what his policies do. The fact that he goes around Congress, what does he need Congress for? And then you got Susan Rice, which we'll get to that, too. We got a clip of her, too. She's out there defending this. Of course, she's got to defend it. Oh, no, we don't need to go to Congress. You see, we were worried about he was sick. I mean, they're trying to make this guy like he was out on his deathbed. And if they didn't swoop in, then he was going to die. Which I don't really buy that story. Sorry, not for nothing. Maybe he is sick. I don't know. But I don't buy that as an excuse. And if you are going to get this guy back, you can't find five other guys that you can bring in? You can't find five other guys? You need these five? Well, see, this deal, they wanted to do this deal 2 years ago. Congress said no. So now Obama, looking bad in the polls, he's looking weak again. So for damage control, they're gonna hop on Air Force One, send a whole team out there to Afghanistan because of what's going on with the VA, letting all the troopers know, yeah, I got your back when you get home, you know, when you lose your leg and, you know, you're all blown up and your squash is a mess and, you know, you get out, you're going to be, you know, we got your back. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. Then he gets back on his little jet, flies back home. Got to give another speech. That's all this guy does is speech. One speech after another. President's speech. That's all he is a speech. I mean, did this guy do anything constructive? What? When was the last time you seen this guy in the Oval Office? I mean, that one picture they send around, I mean, that picture was taken, what, 6 years ago when he first got in there? But a little history of this Bergdahl. As a teen, he studied ballet. He was what they called a lifter, where you lift the girl. You're a lifter, so you hold the girl aloft in a ballet sequence. So you hold her and you twist and you turn and hopefully you don't drop her. But for whatever reason, he got into it, and he met a girl that was a dancer. They fell in love. He started studying Buddhism and tarot card reading. That's a weird mix, but whatever. I think they're connected. Isn't Buddhists and tarot cards, aren't they all the same? I don't know. All that crap is a bunch of goddamn playing cards. And, oh, you're going to have this and oh, you're going to have that. Shut up. You're psychic. Oh, my brain's a little fuzzy. Oh, here's another 20. Oh, look, here it is. Crystal clear. Shut up. You're an idiot. Those tarot cards, that's fun. You know, it's like reading the horoscope in the newspaper. I love to read the horoscope. But it's fun. You know, it's a novelty for about what? As long as it takes you to read it and then it's over with? But, I mean, people, they get into this tarot card and they study it. And runes, you ever seen those? Those little blocks? You dump them out, whatever symbol is on there, you got to pick three of them or something. And whatever symbol they are, that's how you are, what's going to happen to you for the day. And personally, I don't know what... I don't want to know what's going to happen because if something bad's going to happen, I guess if I did know something bad was going to happen, I'd be able to, you know, not show up. But it's a bunch of kalooey. The father goes on, says even as a teen, he could fire a .22 rifle with precision. Well, that's not that uncommon. Well, 22s. I got a 22 rifle. It's a nice gun. Not very loud. It just shoots, boom, 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 semi-automatic. That's a nice gun. At age 20, he traveled to Paris and started learning French in hopes of joining the French Foreign Legion. What the hell? I don't even know. What is the French Foreign Legion anyway? So already this guy's whacked out. I guess the French Foreign Legion is like a Peace Corps kind of a something. I don't know. Who gives a damn? He's already crazy. At this point, wanted to join the French Foreign Frickin' Legion. Well, his application was rejected. They said, no, you're out. So then he was a drifter. He's working at a coffee shop. Didn't know what the hell to do. So he gets this brain fart and decides to join the army. Actually, before that, he considered moving to Uganda to help villagers being terrorized by militias. So this guy has got some kind of, I don't know, man. This guy's got, I mean, it seems like he starts out wanting to help people and then he just gets, doesn't know what the hell to do. I think the guy, I think he is a little messed up in the squash. I'd have to say that. I think the dad is too. I got to be honest. I think Pops is a little, I think he's a little screwy. Mom, I don't know. I can't get a read on her. She just seems like a mom who just wants her son. And you can't blame him. You can't blame that, you know. But the father, there's something there. And then all of his tweets, there's something up there with that. This is what this kid wrote. And then when he joins the army, well, we're going to get to that. Give me a second here. A Bird Girl's dream was to help the Afghan villagers rebuild their lives and learn to defend themselves, is what his dad told, I think it was the Rolling Stone. Well, in an email to his parents 3 days before he went missing, and there were signs before he went missing of stuff, and we're going to get to that. I know it's going to take me forever to get to this stuff, but we're going to get to it. I'm very sorry for everything here. These people need help, yet what they get is the most conceited country in the world telling them that they are nothing and that they are stupid. I am ashamed to be an American, and the title of U.S. soldier is just lie of fools. I am sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting. Well, kid, I think your brain is disgusting. I think you've been misguided. Somehow something went wrong. I don't know if you got a couple of wires that got crisscrossed. I don't know. But something happened along the way. Something happened to you, kid. Why this happens to people, I don't know. I don't know. Let me see if I can find this. This was here. This was a soldier that was in his, I don't know what you call it in the Army. They got too many names for the Army. The Navy doesn't have that. You're on a ship. That's all you got. I mean, these guys got battalions and companies and this and that and platoons. And I mean, I can't keep up with all this. That's too much. And infantry, 55th Infantry, and 485,000 this, and blah, 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 blah. I can't keep up with it. The Navy's easy. I'm on a ship. The USS John Young. That's it. Done. So whatever company, a platoon or company, whatever, he was with them. And what B, he writes, what B? B is Bergdahl. What B was portraying to his family and what was happening in real life were polar opposites. See, he had written an email. This was part of the email that I read before. Wrote an email of saying all this bad stuff, and he was talking about this one officer was an idiot or something like that, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out that he was. The guy didn't know what the hell he was doing, driving around, whatever. And anyway, he got fired. So that was about the only thing that this guy says that Bergdahl wrote that was true. Lieutenant Bradshaw, this is who they're talking about. and Bo didn't even know each other. Didn't even know each other at all. B portraying them as great friends in emails to his dad makes no sense. Oh, that was somebody else. I got that screwed up. We never ran over a child or anybody for that matter. That part really pissed me off. These are the tweets that this guy is sending. Cody FN Football. That's who this guy is. So evidently he wrote something about, I think I got it in here somewhere. I've got so many stories on this goddamn thing. We're never going to get it all. But, I mean, Jiminy Christmas. But what I have a problem with, I don't have a problem with getting the prisoner home. I just don't have a problem with that. You bring him home, you can try to find out, hey, man, what the hell happened that night? Why did you leave? What's going on? Boom, boom, boom. If you were a deserter, yeah, okay, fine. We're going to have to prosecute. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. You can see him. But look, you know, he deserted. Got six lives lost here looking for this guy, and he deserted. So, yeah, he's going to have to pay a price. It sucks, I know. But he's going from one prison to the next. According to Susan Rice, he's already paid the price. He's going to be sent home. He's free. Done. This whole story stinks from the very goddamn beginning. We don't even know the surface of this problem. I can guarantee you right now, get out the book. Get out the book right now and put it in here. This story is going to get huge. I'm talking big. And there is going to be more and more and more and more and more coming out. More is going to be coming out of these prisoners. More is going to be coming out on the deal. Why was the deal made? Why did not the president go to Congress? Well, we still don't know that. Congress is pissed off about that one. Well, a few of them anyway. But you see now, Mr. Boehner, these are impeachment. This is impeachment territory here. We're here. We made it, okay? It's time to do something about it. We're here already. I'm sorry, but I don't like to use that word either. I didn't like it with Clinton. I thought it was a waste of freaking time. This is not a waste of time. Look, I understand you want to get the guy out. I don't have a trial. I don't have a problem with prison swaps. Countries have been doing that since time immemorial, and so has the United States. However, if you're going to do a swap, you need to make it look. I know he wants to close Guantanamo Bay, and he wants to get rid of the place. But you can't just get rid of you can't just get rid of the goddamn prisoners and just send them back home. That's not an effective way to get rid of these people. You want to do a trade, you should have gave them something else. You can't give out these guys. And if they weren't going to make the trade, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But, again, we're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists. But I do understand kind of where they're going, their justification. However, their justification, what they said and what they really meant, that's where the difference is. And they're big. It's a big difference. But yes, we're not fighting a particular country, so to speak. We are fighting an army, but they're all over the Middle East. They're unique. They're different. They're bandits. They're terrorists. They belong to all countries. They're terrorists. It's not a country, so to speak. So I understand that if they are holding your prisoners, I understand. So this whole negotiating with terrorist thing, I understand. But the deal that they made, this is the problem that I have with it. I don't like this deal. And now they're going to go to, I don't say Qatar. It's Qatar. It's always been Qatar. Never had a problem with it. And then after 9/11, oh, now it's Gutter. People were saying, instead of saying cutter, they were saying gutter. I don't want Qatar. Shut up. It's Qatar. I'm going to call it Qatar, and I don't care if I get it wrong. I don't give a damn. So they're going to go there. Pretty sure not a whole lot of bad stuff is really going to be happening to them. They're going to be out on the battlefield. They got to stay there for a year. What they're actually going to do in a year, who knows? Who knows? Maybe something bad can happen to them, like they fall down the stairs or something. Some rancid goat. I don't know. I mean, I'm just coming up with ideas here. Who knows? But it just seems that this president cannot wait to buddy up and give Al-Qaeda all of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, again, it's the same stuff. Their jihad, that's what they are. Their jihad is to kill the infidel, period. It doesn't matter Hamas. It doesn't matter what your stupid name is. Your jihad, 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 jihad. That's it. Why this man wants to put the weapons into the hands of these people, these jihadis. And he's doing all Boko Haram. They got weapons from Libya. Al-Qaeda got them. Mexican drug cartels get them. Everybody gets them, except for Americans. Anybody can get a gun from this president except for Americans, which we've got a constitution that says we can, and it shall not be infringed. Says it right here. I'm reading it. I don't understand why this Congress cannot see how many violations this president has committed against this Constitution, against the American people, against its American way of life, against the American quality of life. What he did with health care, there is a quality of life. Well, you used to have one, but you don't anymore. And if you're a veteran, forget about it. Yeah, we're going to put you on a secret list over here. Yeah, we'll get to you when we get to you. Yeah. There's another story I read the other day. This guy lost a leg because he wouldn't get an appointment. Finally, he goes to another VA, and they find out, oh, look at this. It's all abscess, whatever. Got to lop his leg off. So now he's pissed, and he wants the VA to buy him a leg. Well, I mean, I don't get it. If you're in a hospital, you're a doctor, you're a nurse, the whole purpose for you even being at work is to save people. And if you don't like it, I mean, you're going to have to find another occupation. Every one of these people with the VA, and that's not, again, it's widespread. More than likely, probably every state has probably got at least one. That's pathetic. That's a freaking shame. These guys knew what was going on, and they did absolutely nothing. And then they come out, and now that it comes out, now we're going to give a speech. Now we're going to say we don't leave men behind. We don't do this. We don't do that. We're going to go get prisoners from Afghanistan. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We got the midterm elections coming up. We got to look like we really care. We really care about that middle class. That's why he just got rid of the coal industry, because they care about the middle class. Well, that's right. New regulations popped up. That's right. He signed it in with his magic pen today. Well, Congress is trying to stop it, but good luck. I mean, I don't know. The only way to stop this guy and his magic pen, I'm sorry, I hate to keep repeating myself, but impeachment. What more do we need? What more damage has to be caused before somebody says, wait a minute, we are deep into impeachment territory, which we're way past it as far as I'm concerned. What happened in Benghazi, that right there should have been impeachment. We should have been – they've already should have gone through the hearings and he should have been impeached and we should have got it over with. Obamacare should have been repealed. And we should be going into these 2014 elections with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the rest of these frickin' people are moving their asses out. But are we? No. No, they're nestled into their little offices quite nicely. They're not leaving nowhere. No, they're not going no damn where. Well, the American people, we're the only ones who can move them. So anyway, getting back to this soldier here who was with this bird doll, show you what kind of this guy was. I don't know. I just don't like this whole mess from when he left. Let's see, one of the poke smuggler deployment was lame, blah, 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 blah. Well, 6 months into a 12-month deployment, he sends home all of his like possessions, and the guy was wondering, you know, why would he do that in a 12-month, you know, deployment? Normally, you'd want to send it home, you know, before you got to leave, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, but 6 months into it, and he bought an AK-47, I guess, over online, or he bought it somewhere, doing something with it. So this is where they started to pick up, and a lot of stuff that he would say, something about he wanted to just wander off and go into China. Where is this quote that he wrote down here? Yeah, he wanted to wander off and just go into China and just live up in the freaking hills. So he was definitely was not content in being a United States soldier. This was not really for him, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't seem to be that this was something that he wanted to continue doing for whatever reason, whether he's crazy, whether he was a deserter, wanted to join the Taliban. There's stories of him that when he went there, evidently he converted to Islam. He showed him how to do stuff with the bombs, you know, how to dismantle a phone and turn it into a roadside bomb and all this crap. And one guy, one of the Taliban said, now this stuff, first of all, you can't believe the stupid Talibans anyway. You can't believe to have the crap that comes out of freaking Americans. But who knows with these stories, man? Whether he got in a fight, evidently he tried to escape. I guess he fought like crazy or whatever. I don't know. He's learned the language. He studied different languages, I guess. He would read those Rosetta tapes, whatever they're called, those tapes. So he was on those all the time, trying to learn, you know, I guess, the Afghan language, trying to learn this, trying to learn that. Which I guess I can understand if you're going to be a soldier and you're out there on the field and you want to interrogate them. Tiki Dow VC! You know, I can see that. But this guy doesn't... The problem is it's like with the father. I mean, I can understand doing something for solidarity, but you see, your son was shaved. His head was shaved and his face was shaved. Why didn't you do that? No. This guy, the father, he dresses up like his son's captors. That didn't even make any sense to me. What the hell? I mean, right? I mean, what? Nothing seems right with this whole story. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing seems right from this story whatsoever. And that's why I just have that feeling that it's going to get big. Because nothing seems right. Nothing seems... None of the pieces of the puzzle want to fit together. None of them. None of this crap makes any sense. There's something really big with getting rid of those five detainees. There's something really big with that. Is he trying to make up for all the weapons that he tried to take back from the Taliban? Is that why our ambassador and three other Americans were killed? Is that what he was doing, trying to make up for it? Or did they threaten him? We're going to bomb the United States. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. If you don't do this and you don't do that. Maybe that's what's going on. And this guy just doesn't have enough to fight him. I don't know. I'm speculating. Again, we have the most transparent administration in American political history. That's why you're left to speculate, because they're so transparent. Now, I want to get into this here. I got this cut of our president. God damn it. It's going to be so nice when you can say Barack Obama, the impeached president. Won't that be nice to say one day? I think it sounds nice now. I wish we could say it for real. But this is the president. And again, this is what really makes me, this is what is so insulting to me. This is what is so offensive. And he's out here knowing full well this man gave every single one of those, left every single one of those men in Benghazi behind, left every single one of them behind. Every single one of them. He goes up and he eats. Then he gets on a two-hour phone call. And then instead of going down to the Situation Room himself, he sends Valerie Goebbels to go take charge of the Situation Room, a goddamn advisor. And what does she do? Well, she gets on the horn to YouTube to start the spin. We're going to blame this all on a goddamn video. How do they know the video even existed? Well, because they found it. And they thought, oh, this is a great idea. Let's just use this. Let's start some ruckus over there in Cairo. Which, what happened? Did anything happen? I mean, somebody set off some firecrackers or something? What? What really went on at those places? I mean, I know we got a little bit of news, but I didn't really hear a whole lot. And who cares? They're always rioting and doing some kind of goddamn something over there. Who cares? Stupid video. Who cares? I don't care. Good. You're offended? Good. I get offended all the time, too. So, shut up. But when he says never leave a man behind, I mean, here this guy's got the VA scandal. Oh, no, they weren't left behind. Oh, no. Oh, no, they weren't left behind. They were just put on a secret list. Double secret probation list. They didn't get any medical care, and they died. And again, you didn't leave anybody behind in Benghazi. No, they still haven't sent the military. Just wanted to make the American people think that they don't leave any men behind. Look how I am. Look how American I am. George Bush didn't save anybody, but I did. Yeah, and I killed Bin Laden. That's all this is. This is all political. But they're going to come out there and tell you that because you're bringing this stuff up, this is political. How is this political? You got a traitor, and you traded five of the worst men on planet Earth to the worst people on planet Earth. And they are a people. They are a people. The Taliban, the Hamas, the jihadi people. They are a people. They all think one way. And that is to kill the infidel, to kill the American. That's it. But this is your president. This is your president with the arrogance, the effrontery, to come out here and try to convince you that he is Mr. Strongman. He's got strength. He's a leader. And he never leaves anybody behind. This is your president. Trying to convince you of that. We still got a guy in Mexican jail, which we're going to get to him, that Geraldo Rivera. I'm sorry, Geraldo, but you're going to get it as soon as we get done with this clip. Go ahead and get this.
He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country. because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
Yeah! No, we never leave anybody behind. No! Well, when he said that, I about lost it. And I couldn't believe that this is now, and you're starting to hear this now, and other people started to say it. Oh, we don't leave anybody behind. We don't leave anybody behind. Well, that's right. I'm glad we're getting that. I'm glad we're getting that back. But the problem is when I hear it come from the Democrats, I'm sorry, it's a little too disingenuous for me. I mean, they're going to say over here that Benghazi is subterfuge, that the VA scandal is all political. This is political. That is this. That's subterfuge. Yeah, no one's going to lose any sleep over it. All right, let's get into this Claire McCaskill here now. She's another one who, for whatever reason, I can't figure it out. And then we're going to get into Araldo. And I cannot figure out if these people, I wonder if they're, I don't know if someone is paying them to say that. What is their motivation to say the things that they say? Because it is so clearly obvious that it is just a blatant freaking lie. How can you possibly, this is what, again, my brain can't process that. I cannot figure it out. And why do people allow them to continue to get away with it? And, of course, Chris Wallace, he always brings her on there, but he never challenges. I mean, this woman says the craziest crap. She's another one of those Nancy Pelosi's, Debbie Dum-Dum, Wasserman Schultz's. She's another one there. I mean, just an apologist. That's all they are. They're an elected apologist. That's their only duty, is to just simply go out there and defend the administration. Well, I got a couple of cuts, but I'm only going to play one. Go ahead and play this one. Get it done.
And the interesting thing to me about the release of the POW, Sergeant Bergdahl, is the Republicans immediately started criticizing that. We save an American life on foreign soil, the president and foreign policy gets criticized. We lose American lives on foreign soil, the president gets criticized. Are you seeing a theme here?
Yeah, you want a theme? Here's your theme, Ms. McCaskill. Obama is deserved of a lot of criticism. That's the theme. That's not political. The Benghazi is not political. Fast and Furious, I'm sorry, not political. IRS, well, I guess you could say that's political. But again, it's still a crime. It's not political. Obamacare, again, you could argue political, but it's a crime. It's not political. The stimulus package, yeah, I know, that was a long time ago. Much longer than Benghazi and Fast and Furious and IRS. But nevertheless, equally as important. And that was theft. That was a crime. $800 billion, almost $1 trillion taken out of the American taxpayer's kitty to go to his friends. He can open up so-called green businesses that had no intention whatsoever to conduct business. And then when it goes out of business because it's bankrupt, they get a multi-million-dollar bonus check. There were no shovel-ready jobs. You took $800 billion out of the taxpayer's kitty, and you gave it to your friends, your campaign donors, the unions. That's theft. Again, it's like if I went to Fort Knox and I robbed the son of a bitch and gave all $800 billion to all my buddies, pretty sure I'd go to jail for a long time. Pretty sure. Well, see, this is the American taxpayer's dollar. And if you're in the government, I guess you have the right to spend it any way that you want to spend it, especially if you got a magic pen and you got a phone and you got an airplane and you got a limousine and you got a chef. Hell, you can do whatever you want. Well, let's get into this Geraldo. Again, I turn on the radio this morning just to listen to some radio. I had a whole bunch of stuff on this morning. But first thing out of the box, Geraldo's out there bitching about liberalism. Now, I know he claims to be a registered Republican. Fine. But liberal, yes, you are, sir. Sorry, not for nothing. But he's out there bitching about liberalism. It needs to be stopped. Well, Geraldo, just like Alec Baldwin, finding out that what they're voting for is what they're getting, and they don't like it. Well, again, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for in this world. There are people that will give it to you and have no trouble doing so. And that's what's happening. Well, he wants to get back to the stop and frisk. He wants to have that. He loved stop and frisk. Loved it. Well, Mr. Rivera, you being an attorney, again, I'm pretty sure they covered at least a little bit of the United States Constitution in your lawyer school. They should have. And as far as I know, you went to a pretty prominent one, and you're a pretty smart fella. So, pretty sure you learned it at one time. There is such a thing called the Fourth Amendment. I know you don't like the Second Amendment. You think it stinks, and it's outdated. I don't care if it stinks or it's outdated. It's still in the Constitution. So until it ain't, it is. Now deal with it. You want to get it changed? Okay, well, you have the right to get it changed. You get enough congressmen together and they change it and the president signs it, it can get done. Or you get enough states together, they can get it done. But you don't have that, Geraldo. It's the Constitution. The stop and frisk, what does that do? Well, that violates, I'm sorry, but it does violate your rights as just as a free person. How are you free when every time you drive down the road you got to get searched? Whether you've got contraband in your car or not, it's not the point. I'm sorry, it's not the point. But you must be secure in your person, in your property, in your effects, in your things. Otherwise, no, I'm sorry, you are not free, Mr. Rivera. Why do you people not understand this? I don't know. Now, he's out there blaming the ACLU for getting rid of stop and frisk. Well, it really wasn't so much the ACLU as I believe as the American people just simply wanted to follow the Constitution. They don't like, Americans do not like having their rights violated. Now, I'm sorry, but Mr. Rivera, you have to accept a lot of things that you don't like. It's called freedom. Just because you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to like it. That's called freedom, Mr. Rivera. You have the right not to like something. But you don't have the right to take away from those that do like it. You can complain about it, but you don't have the right to take it away. And that's what they're trying to do. That's exactly what he's doing. The mindset that's in this country to just come out here and you're on this side or you're on that side, and that's it. And you defend this all up and down, regardless. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter how many people died. Doesn't matter in the manner in which they died. Defend it. Defend it, defend it, defend it. I don't know how you, Mr. Rivera, could really defend this. But what he said, what really set me off, the Constitution, this is him saying, this is an actual quote, the Constitution should not be used as an excuse to stop the cops from doing their job, quote, unquote. Well, first of all, Mr. Rivera, if you need to illegally stop and frisk, you're not doing your job, okay? I'm sorry, again, I keep bringing up that Fourth Amendment. I know. It's subterfuge. It's boring. It's outdated. No, it's not outdated. It's not subterfuge. And it is not boring. Those protections in the Constitution, Mr. Rivera, they're in there for a reason. But that slippery slope that you don't... Okay, that slippery slope is real and it's dangerous. Very dangerous. And then he goes on to... This guy went on to a whole bunch of stuff. He pissed me off all morning. As soon as I turned it on, I had to go out and I had a whole bunch of errands to do. And I had my radio. It was a beautiful day. Turn it on. I get out walking. Caught a show right when it started. It immediately... This guy pissed me off. Every single word that came out of his mouth. I don't even know why I listened to him. I don't like to listen to him. But I wanted to listen to something else on the other station, but they had somebody else on there that I didn't like, and they were driving me nuts. So I turned the channel. That's what I do when I don't like something. I find something else that I do like. Well, I found something that I liked even worse, but I was listening to it. He's over here now. He's over here blaming this Sergeant Tamaresi. He's turning him into, you know, I mean, he did. He questioned what he was doing over there trying to smuggle weapons into Mexico and questioning, was it drug trafficking? Is that what he was doing? Smuggling drugs? Look, his weapons, you idiot. Geraldo, did you not pay attention? This is another thing. I'm sitting there listening to this guy. No way you could get confused driving into Mexico. I'm not buying it, he says. Well, I think the evidence has been proven that it's very confusing when you go out of there. And there's no signs, and the one sign was... There was a caller that called in and said, Geraldo, what the hell's the matter with you? It's very confusing there. Well, he finally shut up about that. And then he starts going off about, well, he lied to the American police, and then he tried to escape. Well, his lawyer wanted him to lie. And he said no. Now, what he said at the very beginning before that, I don't know. But when you're nervous, you're scared, okay, fine. But you see, when he tried to escape, Mr. Rivera, you see, he was escaping so that he wouldn't get raped and murdered. You understand? You would have probably tried to escape as well. And that's what he did. And by escaping and by getting strapped to the bed, it saved his life. But why Geraldo is turning this guy into, he's trying to defend this administration for doing absolutely nothing to go save this guy. But he doesn't seem to have a problem with a deserter getting freed by five of the worst men on planet Earth. Now explain this to me. I can't. I tried figuring it out, trying to figure out just exactly what the hell is going on here. I mean, these people, they seem very selective of what they like and what they don't like. Now, I like the fact when I first heard that this guy was coming home, okay, yeah, that's great. But when I started digging in and going, wait a minute, I remember this story. Oh, yeah, this, that, and everything else. And then you started finding out all this information. And then Dad comes out, dressed up like the Taliban, start praising Allah, the most merciful, most compassionate, most gracious and wonderful Allah. I mean, a whole bunch of red flags started popping up. I don't like this story at all. But the Sergeant Tamaresi, okay, he had the gun. Geraldo thinks that he was trying to purposely bring guns back into Mexico. He left Mexico. He was trying to go back home. He had a hotel, but it was rat-infested and cockroaches and God only knows. It was filthy, dirty, stinky, nasty filth, which I don't know why you would want to get a hotel in Tijuana anyway. I love Tijuana, by the way. Tijuana is a fun place, got to admit. But you got to be careful, man. You can't be screwing around there. You know what I mean? You got to keep it cool. Because you get in them jails, But why these people are out there defending this? Well, we can't have the president look bad. Well, if we have the president look bad, then what will that look, globally? I don't care what it looks like anywhere. Right now, what it looks like crap. And I want to fix it. And the only way to fix it is to get these people who keep crapping on us out of the bathroom, off the pot. Get them the hell out of here. I'm sorry, Geraldo, but I don't understand why. What the hell? But with Bergdahl, there were these long negotiations. The country, never leaves anybody behind. See, he's starting to quote that now, too. Now this is going to be the battle cry for the left. We never leave anybody behind. Vote for me. Well, yeah, you do. This man has left the entire country behind. How many times? Well, don't give me this, we never leave anyone behind. I love that phrase, we never leave anybody behind. But I want it backed up. I don't want it just said by this government. And I don't trust anybody in this administration to be saying it. It's very disingenuous. And then the president coming out there, we never leave anybody behind. I mean, how phony can you possibly be? You never leave anybody behind. Well, you might want to tell Mr. and Mrs. Stevens, and Mr. and Mrs. Woods, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and Mr. and Mrs. Doherty that you never leave anybody behind. I'm sure they'd like to see their sons again. Why don't you tell them that, Mr. Obama? Huh? Never leave anybody behind. Well, then why did you go eat? And then go on a two-hour phone call, and then do whatever afterwards. Why would you send an aide into the Situation Room to take control if you never leave anybody behind? Why have you yet to send any military to Benghazi? Goddamn CNN got there before the FBI. And it took the FBI, 3.5 weeks? There weren't long negotiations, Mr. Rivera. They tried it in 2012, and Congress said, no, we don't want this. This is crap. This is not going to work. Get it out. Get it out of the way. Throw it away. We don't leave men behind. I would love to have that said. I would love to have that in American motto again. But what I don't want it is to be a campaign slogan. Because what are campaign slogans? Just that. A campaign slogan. Then change. Never leave any man behind. You see what I'm saying? They're using it as a campaign slogan. It's not a slogan. First of all, it's something that you have inside. It's not even really something in words. It really isn't words. It's just something that you do. You got one of your boys that are left out there. Immediately, you don't think about it. You just do it. You organize a goddamn posse and you go, get them! Well, that's what they tried with this Bergdahl and got six soldiers killed trying to find this guy. Now, I understand you want to get this guy out, but the circumstances don't warrant what happened here. It's very difficult for the parents. I understand. Daddy, I don't get him. I don't know what the hell his whole trip is. Mama, I mean, she just seemed like someone wonder son home. I mean, so I got to cut her a little slack, but him, the daddy, I can't cut you any slack, sir. I'd love to. I would love to have this really be a joyous occasion. Wouldn't that be great? We got one of our guys coming home. I would love to feel good about this. But I really don't. I think the country's in much worse shape now than we've ever been. Now, look how many more Americans are going to get kidnapped now. Look at this. We got bargaining chips. I mean, we don't have to get rid of Guantanamo Bay. Al-Qaeda is just going to do it for us. Kidnap our Americans and just do prison swaps. Maybe that's what he wants. I don't know. But it just seems, I'm sorry, I hate to go down this road, but when all the evidence keeps pointing that this president is really working for the other side, is very sympathetic towards the other side, the enemy, you know, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, the jihads, all of them. He seems to be far too sympathetic to our enemy, to the people that supposedly want to kill us. Why would you want to be that sympathetic to these? You're president of supposedly the biggest superpower on earth. We used to be. I can't say we are anymore. I'd love to say we are. Well, anyone who doubts the American people, you don't know history. Well, what we did in the history and what we do now are two different things, Mr. Obama. I didn't understand that speech that he said last week either. I think we played it yet the other day. I'm not going to play it again, but... Well, let's get into this Susan Rice here now. I know we're running out of time. But we still got enough time here. Now, this is Susan Rice. She goes on all the talk shows yesterday, except for one. Fox, of course. Can't go on Fox. But this Susan Rice, this is another one. I mean, she seems to be like the administration just, like, she just doesn't seem to care what she says. Oh, you need someone to go out and lie? Okay, I'll do it. She's like the token liar. I mean, do they pay you extra to do all these lies there, Susie? Huh? Huh, sweetie? All right, let's play this one here. She's talking about I think this is with that old Snuffleupagus there on ABC. About if he is a deserter, has he paid the price? I mean, is he going to be prosecuted, blah, blah, blah? Has he already paid the price? And this is her stupid response.
I can proceed. Finally, on this point, Sergeant Bergwald, there are a lot of questions about how he originally was captured and whether or not he had deserted, had left his post. Is that going to be investigated? And if it's found that he did indeed leave his post, will he be disciplined or has already paid the price?
Certainly, anybody who's been held in those conditions in captivity for 5 years has paid an extraordinary price. But that is really not the point. The point is that he's back. He's going to be safely reunited with his family. He served the United States with honor and distinction. And we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past.
All right. But let's get back to this price. What about the six soldiers who died looking for this guy? Price you were talking about, Mrs. Rice? Huh? He's already paid the price? So what you're saying, I guess, if you desert, you become a deserter, as long as you join the enemy for 5 years and then get prison swapped, I guess you served your time. Well, you know, I'm glad you're out of the Taliban hands. How well you were mistreated and tortured, if you were or not, I don't know. But I'm sure the combinations weren't all that good. Pretty sure. Whether you wanted to be there and you liked it, I don't know. What your circumstances for leaving the base, you seem to left a trail of confusion along the way. wanting to wander off into China and asking his sergeant or whoever's in charge about what would happen. I mean, can you get in trouble if you leave with your night vision glasses or your gun? Oh yeah, you can get in big trouble if you leave the base without it, if you lose it. So he's wondering, why the hell would you ask that? You're a goddamn soldier. You should know you never lose your night vision goggles and you never lose your goddamn rifle. So that triggered, the guy was probably thinking, what the hell? What kind of a stupid question was he asking me? Well, he left that night. He left his gun and his night goggles and all this stuff, and he just took a diary, some water, and a compass, and I think a knife or something. That was about it. And he went wandering off. Evidently, he was trying to make it to China, but the Taliban's got him first. So what the hell's going on with that? Him trying to, if that's true or not, whether he's trying to show him how to turn your cell phone into a battery-operated goddamn roadside bomb activator. Who knows? But this next cut here, this one right here, and first of all, serving with extinction. Let's play the second one here before I blast off again.
A reason, Candy. First of all, this opportunity
Which
is
under
one.
Under the law, it says you should.
This opportunity is one that has been briefed to Congress when we had past potential to have this kind of arrangement. So it wasn't unknown to Congress. The Department of Defense consulted with the Department of Justice, and given the acute urgency of the health condition of Sergeant Bergdahl, and given the President's constitutional responsibilities, it was determined that it was necessary and appropriate not to adhere to the 30-day notification requirement, because it would have potentially meant that the opportunity to get Sergeant Bergdahl would have been lost. And therefore...
Why not? Jesus, God damn it, shut up! I mean, my God! On and on and on and on and on and on and on, this woman just irritates the living hell out of me. They want to know why they didn't go through frickin' Congress. I should have premised this before we played it. I thought it was something else. I had a million of these cuts. I got a million cuts, but I can't play them all. And I can't shut up long enough to play any of them. But when asked why they didn't notify Congress, and isn't that breaking the law? And Candy Crowley's a little bit, I really wouldn't say she's, hard-hitting and in-depth. She's a freaking joke like the rest of them. But she is kind of nudging her a little bit. Very nicely, though. Very softly. Very gentle. Very gingerly. And her goddamn excuse is, they were briefed to Congress when we had passed potential to have this kind of arrangement. So it wasn't new to Congress. I'm going to read it again. And I'm quoting her. This is what she said. To Congress, this deal, she's talking about this deal 2 years ago. 2 years ago, and overwhelmingly the Congress said, no, we don't, no, we, no, no. Congress wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. So she says it was briefed to Congress when we had passed potential, whatever that means, passed potential, to have this kind of arrangement, so it wasn't new to Congress. In other words, they said, well, this deal may come up again. And they probably said, well, and we're going to shoot it down again. So this is their way of notifying Congress within 30 days. is they notified them 2 years ago on this same deal, and Congress said no. So 2 years later, he's down in the polls, and he wants to look like he's big and he's strong, trying to keep up with Putin, trying to fit into his new mom jeans, trying to let the veterans know, oh, I don't leave anybody behind. Really? You've had 6 years, Mr. Obama, to do something with the VA. The man you got in charge. And this is what they say their excuse. Well, it's not just one, it's systemic. So what does that mean? Well, it's the system. Okay, so what does that mean? You're in charge. You can change the system. You can fix it. Well, it's systemic, so I can't do anything. My hands are tied. It's the system. Just nothing I can do about it. We need Congress to intervene. No, you need your goddamn brain to intervene. Throw in a little common sense, and believe me, just a little bit of common sense will take you all the way down the road. But no one wants to use it, because if they do, well, they're going to have to be held responsible. And if they get held responsible, well, then they might lose their job. They may not get their bonus. That's what it's all about. It's all about just cover your ass. The Department of Defense consulted the Department of Justice? What the hell difference does that mean? You didn't discuss this matter with Congress. The Department of Defense consulted with the Department of Justice. Okay, well, Department of Defense is Chuck Hagel, which is nothing more than just a robot to whatever he's told to do. I know he's a war veteran, combat veteran. Good for him, but what you did in the past, hey, look, what John McCain did in the past, what was done in the past is not what's in the future, not what it's in the present. What's in the past is in the past. But Obama thinks, well, if you disagree with America's, on their way up, and if you think that America's power is lacking across the world, America's strength is lacking, yes, it is lacking. Well, you don't know history, or you're just playing partisan politics. Well, history has nothing to do with it. What we did in the past was when we had, real presidents, and we had a real military, and we had things that were much more real. We had a real health care. We had a lot of things. But we don't have it anymore. You took it away. History has nothing to do with it. Our military strength and our military might and our American might and our American strength in history is not what we have today. That's not partisan politics. That's not misunderstanding history. It's simply accepting and acknowledging the goddamn reality. Well, the Department of Defense, they consulted with the Department of Justice. So if the Department of Justice okayed it, well, then it's got to be legal. Because Eric Holder, he's a constitutional scholar, too. And if he says it's constitutional, well, it must be. He wouldn't lie. Of course he wouldn't lie. He's in contempt of court. You're not allowed to lie when you're in contempt of court. Well, not court, Congress, whatever. What the hell's the difference? I think our Congress is in contempt of Congress. Our government is definitely in contempt of the American people. That's for goddamn sure. But even Lindsey Graham now, which, Lindsey, this is what really pisses me off about you, buddy, is I like you when you're conservative and I hate you when you ain't. I can't tell when you are and when you're not half the time. I don't know what the hell you're doing. You're all over the map. Well, he's trying to do something good now. He's asked the chairman and ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee to hold a hearing. That's all we need is another hearing. On the transfer of five former Guantanamo Bay prisoners. Well, I think it's inevitable that there's going to have to be a hearing on this. And it's also inevitable that nobody's going to say a goddamn thing. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I don't recall. I don't remember. I don't know. Was it in my job description? I don't know anything. I know nothing. I don't remember. And no more committee hearings. None of this. If we're going to have a committee hearing, there needs to be something that follows. There needs to be some kind of actions. I know it's not a court, so I know our Congress can't do certain things, but they can do certain things. And I think we need some action. What does a hearing do? Oh, okay, well, we got everybody to plead the fifth. Okay, that was productive. Now what? Well, now we go to lunch. Well, I think it's inevitable that we are going to have some kind of hearing, and I think in the next coming weeks, and I say weeks because this story here, I just don't see this story going away anytime real soon. But this story is going to keep continuing to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And this thing, there's too many angles to this story. I mean, just him himself, this Bergdahl. I mean, there's a story just with him. And then you got his dad, which old Pops, he's off the charts too. But then you got this government. God only knows what they're doing. I mean, they just can't wait to give Al-Qaeda weapons, can't wait to get, you know, more generals back on the battlefield. When is this government, this Congress going to realize, I mean, this is traitorous stuff that we're doing here. I understand prison swaps. I get it. But you don't trade five of the worst men on earth for a deserter. I know we've got to get him home. And their excuse? Well, they were worried about his health. His health. Oh, he was losing weight and he was this. I mean, first of all, they haven't had that much contact with him. So don't really know where this is all coming from, but it was so urgent that his health, that he was going to die, that they had to do it and they couldn't notify Congress. Well, how did they know that this, did they get an email? What did they get to know that this guy was all of a sudden, he was sick? Huh? Did the Taliban call you on the phone there, Barry? Hey, yeah, you're prisoner, yeah. This guy over here, this sergeant, yeah, well, he's sick. He might die. Okay, we'll send you five of the worst men on earth, and we'll bring him home. Okay, that sounds good. Jesus Christ. Ah, look at this. It looks like my brother's sober enough to call in tonight. Wonder what kind of football news we got tonight. Hey, meathead, you got something good and juicy? What's going on?
Eek. I got nothing. What's your brother doing negotiating with terrorists, though?
I don't know what the hell's going on. I've been bitching about him all frickin' night.
Hey, the little girl walked away from his crew in the first place. I mean, why do we want him back?
That is a question. Yes. Why? What? I don't get it. None of this story makes any sense. None of it. And it's
yeah,
going
to be something. There's got to be something to it. Bigger to it. But we don't know it. As of what we know now, the little girl walked away, and we negotiated and put five more terrorists back on the line to, you know, kill us.
Well, they're going to be in Qatar for a year, which means really not much to me. I mean, they might as well go to the goddamn Holiday Inn. I mean, who knows? But they're not going into the grave where they need to be. And what I'd like to know is these five guys should have already been tried, convicted, and hung and buried already. Why are they still on earth? What I'd like to know.
Because we're giving them better medical benefits than our VA.
Exactly. I mean, these goddamn prisoners in Guantanamo are getting better medical. They are, and they get better.
I know. What is that? What is that freaking practice?
I have no idea. But I mean, these guys
it's
are getting.
It's got to be practice for the doctors or something. I don't get it.
I don't know. If I was a doctor down there, I'd be making sure that I'd be having the dirtiest freaking needles I can find. I'd be spitting
on
them.
Oh, is that the wrong medication? Oh, boy, I apologize for that.
Yeah. Oh, did I give you too much of that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, you're going to be sleeping.
Should watch that.
Yeah, I should watch that. I should be a lot more careful.
Is that the AIDS virus? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, what a
Don't know where it came from.
What a freaking shame. I'm sorry.
That's pretty bad speaking, but that's fine.
I know. I hate talking like that, but look. You know, but I mean, if you're going to trade... You're going to trade for this deserter. I mean, you can't find five other guys. You can't find anybody else laying around Guantanamo Bay to get rid of. You need to get the five worst men on planet frickin' Earth.
Well, supposedly.
Supposedly, schmozedly.
These are supposed to be five of the best that, you know, they don't have a fear about. But come on. If they don't have a fear about them, what the hell are they doing in Guantanamo Bay?
No, they do have a fear about them. What are you talking? No, these are the
five.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
They're the worst of the worst.
If you're in Guantanamo Bay, there's a reason.
Well, yeah, but they're...
You're not there for vacation.
Right, but they have captured a lot of just like regular foot soldiers that are, you know, they're not Taliban leadership or anything.
As far as I'm concerned, they're all the same.
Look, I don't give a damn. They're all the same, man. They're jihad. That's all it's about. It's about just kill the infidel, kill the American. That's it.
They're all the same. It's all
no
football news. I got zero. Just nothing happening yet. All that play is that Manziel again, and, you know, I'm sick of it.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Well, it was a shame to watch our beloved Seahawks go have to visit the president in the White House. They should have said no.
A few of them did.
Well, I mean, they can't fit the entire team in there. But, I mean, look, first of all, I don't want to see this guy right now. I mean, the VA, these guys are, no one's helping the VA. They're all put on secret lists. They're all dying. And this guy goes to another photo op. I mean,
don't go overboard with it.
What do you mean overboard with it?
Well, you said they're all dying. They're not. It's bad, but it's not the end of the world. I can't word it right.
I didn't say they were all. No, I'm talking the guys
you
that are on.
You did say
the,
all.
The guys that are on the secret list. Yeah, the ones that aren't dead are dying.
Oh.
That's true.
My point is, I mean, it's bad. It's definitely bad. But it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't have the words for it. I don't have the words.
It's all over. It's not just one VA, and it's only getting more and more starting to come out every day. More and more are coming out.
It's a bad situation.
It's nationwide.
No question about it.
It's nationwide.
No question about it.
And they had it. They
knew. I think it's been blown a little bit bigger than.
No, they knew they had problems from the very moment that he took office. He got it before he took office, and he got it several times after he took office, and he hired this guy, this Shinseki, to specifically fix these problems. And he said, I know I can't say it, and he gets hired to do this, and he says, well, I didn't know any of these problems. Nobody told me about them. What do you mean nobody told you about them? You were told about them. That's why you were hired. You were hired to fix them. And the president,
now,
he isn't.
Documentation showing that he knew about it. So.
Goddamn right he knew about it. So did the president.
Yeah. Well, the problem is some of it also happened during Bush's administration, too.
It happened in all of them. It's been happening for far too long. But when you know, when you were told you've got problem A, problem B, problem C, all the way down, and you go out and you campaign, I'm going to fix problem A, problem B, problem C, and all the way down. And then you get another notice saying, well, you know, I know you, you know, you had your little campaign speech, but we got these problems are even freaking bigger. So he goes out and he gives another speech. And that's
what that monkey was going to fix a lot of things, and he fixed nothing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, he certainly, this letting these prisoners out for this guy right here, this story, Kurt, I'm telling you, is going to get really freaking huge. I mean, big, big, big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It just in the last couple of days, it's gotten, well, because all the news didn't come out until, you know, days later, and it just keeps building.
Well, they came out on Saturday, I think Friday night, and then Saturday I heard a bunch of stuff all day, and I tried to avoid it, and I tried to avoid it yesterday, and I couldn't. I mean, it's just one thing after another. I've only got a minute left, so what you're going to have to do is stop talking.
A lot of people wish that upon you.
Well, I know. I never shut up. But, you know, I guess I don't. I never
all right, go on. All right, shut up and finish.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing to say other than that's it. I've got, about a minute left. So you don't have anything important to report? Nothing?
Football-wise, zero. I'm sorry.
No,
there's just nothing.
Well, I was going to get into story. You like Michelle Malkin, don't you? You like her.
Yeah.
You know, well, she had a good story in here today, too. There was another jihadi that got released, and he's living in Canada, and he was a 15-year-old kid, and he's now out. He's living in Canada, so I can't get into it, and I'm running out. I've only got 40 seconds, so we're going to have to say goodbye.
All right,
I want to thank everybody for listening here tonight. And everybody on their smartphones and everyone who's going to archive later, thank you very much. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night or tonight.